Okay, church, go ahead and turn your Bibles. You're only going to be one place. One place. Sometimes I mean that and sometimes I don't. I double checked it and I mean it. Turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 5. The day of the Lord. Go ahead and turn your Bibles. I'm going to ask you to engage and participate in the reading of this. I'm not going to ask you to read, but I'm going to ask you to engage in it. And so I need those Bibles open. And so I know you hear me say that a lot. And I say, kids, have your Bibles open. And I know that you go, Hunter, you say it every week. I feel like you got to. And so no matter who you are, you know, put the phones up, coloring pads up, like have your Bibles open. I want you to hear the word. This is the heaviness of reality. The gospel and the collision of heaven and hell. This is everything. And so I need your Bibles open to the text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And so if you're a note taker, if you write in your Bible, if you don't, that's okay. If you take notes, phone, journal, whatever you got, I would love for you to write, well, if so. Well, if so. Now, as you flip in your Bibles, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, this is the text that my team and I went through on Sunday morning in the Dominican. This is the text that the pastor read from. And so we had an amazing, awesome service that Sunday morning. And so it was an amazing, awesome service for a handful of reasons. One, I was telling my brother David Evans here that leads us in song and worship here at Eastview. I said to him, it was amazing because like even though like the language and the service was completely different, they sang some of the same songs that we sing every Sunday. And so you couldn't take out the language, you couldn't understand it completely, but man, when they hit the chorus, like you knew the beat. And we would look at each other and across the world we saw and we heard and we go, man, these people are so different. The language, the race, the culture, the people, the history. But man, we worship the same God. And that was amazing. It was amazing because of the desire and the passion they had in God's Word as it was taught. It was very much like a Pentecostal type feel. They weren't doing cartwheels down the aisle or throwing things around, but they were excited. And I couldn't exactly tell what they were saying, but whatever was being said, it was heavy and it was good. And sometimes I think that we could take a page from that notebook. I think we could say amen. We could have some more amens. There's nothing wrong with standing up and praising God and singing loud and hands raised. There's nothing wrong with being overwhelmed and excited about the good news of the gospel and what Christ has done in you. Like if this doesn't excite you, well, nothing else can, right? Man, that was a blessing. And then just honestly, the culture in general was really amazing. I think mission work is great because it's a humbling service. As much as you can serve around you, which is that is your calling in life to serve where you are, it's hard to understand different cultures unless you're in it. And so when you're in those cultures that live a very different life than you, it's very educational. And so that Sunday morning service was just awesome for me and my son and the team just to see like how they do worship. It was an amazing service in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. However, there was a problem in the fact that the language they were speaking, I did not understand it. And you might sit here on Sunday, Hunter, and go, I speak English, but I don't understand a lot of the things that you say. So maybe you can relate. Maybe you can. But they spoke two languages and they kind of intermixed them together. They spoke Spanish and they spoke Creole and they kind of mixed them all together. And the bad news is that your pastor doesn't understand either. And so it was a long service. And we sat there and we sang songs that I didn't fully understand. and we read and the pastor spoke about things that I couldn't exactly interpret, but I did see the text that he preached from. And so what I did there is he said, turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. I turned my Bible, I respectively listened to the man, and I read for myself, and I said, God, if I can't fully understand this man's language, will you speak to me? Will you preach to me your word? And God did, and he was faithful to it. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to read you what the man preached from, and I want to share with you the message that God placed on my heart. Now, this is where I want you to engage. We're going to read all first 11 verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. As I said, this is a heavy text. It encompasses much and many things about the reality of your life, the secular world colliding with the spiritual world, the idea that there is a heaven, there is a hell, and what ties all things together is where we place our faith. And the only true gospel, which is achieved through Christ and what He has done for us, there is a lot here. So this is what I want you to do. I want those highlighters out. If you underline, underline, whatever your preference is. And as I read, from my kids to my seniors, I want you to highlight what you believe to be true. So if I read something and you say, hey Hunter, I don't know. Well, don't highlight it. But if I'm reading and you say, amen, I 100% believe what you just read, I want you to highlight it, okay? And then we're going to later on break it down and see if we truly believe what we highlighted in God's Word. So listen to verses 1 through 11. Paul says, but concerning these times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need that I should write to you. Now hang on 2 and 3. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Do you believe that, church? I do. Not everybody believes what I'm about to tell you, and that might be okay in some way, but I believe that when those clouds part, that this game's over. I believe that when Jesus shows up, that is the end of this. And I believe that it will be in a twinkling of an eye. That is what your pastor believes. And I believe that's what the Bible says. It says in verse 2, for you yourselves know this perfectly, that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night when He returns. And for some, for those who don't believe, for when they say peace and safety, do you see that in the world? Everything is okay. I am in good shape. When they say peace and safety, then suddenly, destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. Ladies, do you remember that moment? Do you remember that moment where you knew how long you had been pregnant, but you didn't know exactly when that water was going to break? And when it came, you knew it quickly, right? But you didn't know it the second before it. He says that is how it's going to be when the Lord returns. Highlight that if you believe it to be true, fully. It says in 4, or it keeps going, I'm sorry, and there shall not be any escape. 4. But you, brothers, you're not in darkness. Amen. So that this day should not overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. If you are saved, if you are bought with a price, let us not sleep as others do. But let us watch and be sober, for those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet of the hope of salvation. Highlight that if you believe that is what we are supposed to do if you are saved. If you are saved, bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, if heaven waits for you, highlight that. If you believe that heaven exists, and that is what we are supposed to do with our time on earth, highlight it. Now here's an awesome truth. Here's the gospel. And 9, For God did not appoint us to wrath. You know what that word appoint means? It means assigned. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wait or awake or asleep, that we should live together with Him. Highlighted if you believe that to be true. Last verse. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are doing. Now, how many verses did you highlight, church? Out of those 11 verses, you don't got to stand up and ask or say to your neighbor, but how many verses out of those 11 did you highlight? Now, let's slow it down for a minute so you understand. In those 11 verses, there's a lot to unpack. In those 11 verses, there's a lot in this Bible, but that really takes the cake on all of it. This idea that there is a heaven, that there is a hell, that there is God's wrath, that there is salvation only found in Jesus, and then what we are supposed to do on this earth, and that is to comfort and edify and equip one another as we wait. Do you believe that to be true? Do you believe that to be true? And here's the word that God gave me as I prayed, Lord, as I read this, what would you place on my heart? And here is the thought. Here's the thought that would not escape me as I sat there in that church in the Dominican. The one idea that the Holy Spirit, I believe, placed on my heart to share with you is this. What if that is true? Like, what if that is true? Like, Hunter, I know you're a pastor. I know you preach. I know you read. I know you study. I know this is your life and your career. And you've said many sermons to the people. But do you believe, Hunter Jones, that all of those things in those 11 verses, do you believe this to be true? Like, what if it is? Like, what if all 11 of those verses are true? Like, what if God created, knew me, loved me, desired me, appointed me to heaven before Genesis 1? Like, what if that is true? Like, what if there is a heaven? You ever thought about that? Like, we talk about it so flippantly. Like, what if there is actually a heaven where you will spend eternity, where there is no war, there is no cancer, there is no death, there are no funerals, there is no anger, there is no sin, there's no destruction, there's no divorce. Like, what if that is real? What if there is a hell? You ever thought about that one? Like, what if there is an eternity separated from God in punishment? What if that exists? And what if it all comes together in the twinkling of an eye? What if that is true? And so I read those 11 verses, and I don't know about you, but I stared at them because there's a lot there. And I asked myself, Hunter, do you believe this to be true? Like, is God real? Is He King? Is He Creator? Is He Sustainer? Is His Son Savior and Lord? Am I ready to meet my Maker? If it was today, please hear me, is He worth following now? Some of us are struggling right here with that. You believe that God exists, and you know that you need a Savior, but you have not answered the question on if He is worth everything to you. And you are continuing to live your sinful life, not because you think that we came from monkeys or you believe in evolution, because you do not believe He is worth it, which means you are not ready to meet Him. You are 8.5 months pregnant and thinking that you got way more time than you think you have. Am I ready to meet my Maker? Is He worth it? I sat there in that church and I read those verses and I said, praise God, I believe in all 11. I believe God is real. I believe He is King. I believe He is Creator. I believe His Lord. I believe His Son is Savior. I pray that He comes before that man stops talking, and I know that He is worth it. Now hear me. If you sit here today and go, "Hey brother, you and me both, I highlighted all 11. Well, this is what happens. If you say yes, God is real, He is King, His Son is Savior, and He is worth it. If you said yes, well, what happens is the what if quickly turns into, well, if so. Feel me? Well, if the what if gets taken off the board, well, there is no more what ifs. There's no more curiosities. There's no more crossing their fingers. There's no more maybes. The what if quickly turns into the question is, well, if so. Well, if God is real, if Jesus is Savior, well, if so, how has this changed everything about me? You see, guys, I believe that if you highlighted all of those verses, that your life should not be recognizable to your former self. And that is a hard place to be in. That is a hard word to preach. Because I think that a lot of us, we've accepted Christ. We have checked the boxes. We've graced the waters. We've taken the pictures. We've had all the family come and say how proud of them they are of you. We've done all of those things, but your life looks exactly like it did before you did. And so, if you believe all of those things, that there is a heaven and there is a hell, and the only way that ties it together and decides your fate is where you place your faith in the Son who came to die for you, if that is what you say yes to, well, if so, how has that changed everything about you? How has it? If you believe those things, your new life should not be recognizable to your former one. And so we're going to break it down to what you highlighted. We're going to break it down, and I want you to see this as examples. So first, as a church, do I truly believe in verses 2 and 3? Do I truly believe the truth of what we see in God's Word in verses 2 and 3? Listen to the Word. "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." Do you highlight that one? Do you believe that, church? "For when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman." And guess what? "And they shall not escape." Do you believe that this is how it will happen? Or do you think that this is an illustration or a parable or just kind of a thought, right? It would be something like this. Like, what if it is true? If you go, no. I believe that is exactly how it will happen, Hunter. I believe that there is a hell, and for those that do not know Jesus Christ and have trusted and put His faith in them, I believe they will spend eternity apart from God, burning in a damnation. I believe that, Hunter. Well, if so... How has that changed your life? Do you have someone in your life that does not know Jesus? Do you know someone who has not placed their faith in Christ? Do you know someone who is on that other side of the equation, that if that thief came now, if that water broke today, that they are not ready to meet their Maker? Do you know that individual? Is it your father? Is it your mother? Is it your child? Is it your neighbor? Is it your brother? Is it your sister? Is it your spouse? Is it your coworker, your hunting buddy, your vacation family that you love to spend time with? Today, if Jesus came back before I said amen, do you know someone that you love and that you care about that is not ready for that moment? If you said, yes, I do. Well, if so, have you told them? Have you sat with them? Have you said, I am pleading that you listen to what I am saying to you. I am concerned for your life. Either you have denounced who God is, or you think that you're something. This is what we see in the Bible Belt, Matthew 6 and 7. You think that you are something in which you are not. You have false assurance, my friend. You ever been to a funeral and someone said, I think that they were a Christian? You know what I always say? Well, brother, it depends on how you read the Bible. Because I'll tell you how I read the Bible. I believe that when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, that question is never asked. I believe that when the living God fills your life, there is no curiosity of where you are going after you die. Do you know somebody right now that you know in your heart doesn't know Jesus? And if so, if you believe in a hell and you love those people, have you sat down with them and shared the gospel, which is the only way that leads to salvation? Have you ever done that? And you know what I hear from people? Well, Hunter, it's not my place. Well, whose place is it? Whose place is it? If your sister, if your cousin is your best friend, if your husband's, if your friend's wife was 8.5 months pregnant and they call you up and they said, hey, this weekend I'm about to go mountain climbing. Are you going to say, hey, listen, I don't think that is a good idea? Are you going to go, not my place? She's a grown woman. Let her figure it out. No, you're going to be like, I'm worried about you. Have you done that? If you believe that verses 2 and 3 are true, well, if so, you should be evangelizing to the lost that Jesus saves, and you are worried about their life. So do you believe it? Do you pray for the lost to be saved? Think about that. Do you pray daily for the lost to be saved? For my parents, let's make everybody feel uncomfortable for a minute. For my parents, my grandparents, for those who have children under their umbrella that are not saved, how often do you pray that they know the Lord? How often? Do you spend more time on the ball field or going over spelling words or trying to get them to some type of practice or lesson? Trying to get trips set up? Wanting to make sure that they are successful in their job? Or do you spend more time praying to the Lord that they come to know Him? Which one do you spend more time on? Which one? Let's assess the wickedness of our heart and our priorities. Because if you believe in a hell that exists, well, if so, Christians should be the loudest, most passionate, most dedicated people to evangelism on planet Earth. Do you know what the word evangelism means? It means to go speak the truth. You go, Hunter, I'm not good at it. And you know what? I agree with you. You're not good at it. You're great at it. You're great at it. It's just the truth that you often speak is not the truth that's often needed. You don't have a problem speaking. You don't have a problem sharing with others. It's just the information that you've prioritized giving. Man, we should be sitting with our kids. Please hear me. You don't got Sundays to waste, my friend. You hear me? You don't have Sundays to waste. You should be sitting with our children, pouring the gospel to our lost loved ones, our fathers. I have buried parents that I know are not in heaven. Do you know why? Because I didn't fully believe hell existed. I didn't share the things that I should have shared. You know why? Because I didn't fully believe it then. If you believe that Jesus is coming back and you don't got a bunch of times to pack those bags and start pleading now before the sun sets today, you need to leave this church and go, hey, listen, can we have a second lunch? Because there is something that I have to share with you. I don't care if it messes up our relationship. I love you enough to mess it up. Please hear that word. Not on the notes. There are a lot of people that I have not shared the gospel with because you know why? You start digging in my heart and my heart will tell you that they're not worth it. That's why I haven't. Is your father worth it? Is your mother worth it? Is your child worth it? Is your friend worth it? Is it worth ruining a relationship? Is it worth the awkwardness at Thanksgiving? Is it worth it? Because if you go, Hunter, it is worth it. I believe it. I highlighted it. Then please, brother, sister, mother, child, listen to me. Listen to verses 1 through 11. Do you know why? Because I believe it. And because I do, my life screams it. Our life screams it. As we go to the next verses, 4 through 8, some of you guys are. Some of you guys are inviting to church and you are praying with your kids and you are pouring into them and you can't even go in a normal day without sharing the news of Jesus with coworkers. And do you know why you are doing those things? It's not because you're gifted to do so and you're so great with words. It is because you have been wrecked by the Spirit of God and you can't keep your mouth shut. So you can fire me. You can think that I'm awkward. You can be uncomfortable. But I believe in verses 2 through 3. And I got to share it with other people. And that is why you are doing such a thing. Keep evangelizing. Keep sharing. You know why? Because hell exists. Hell exists. Do you believe it? Well, if so, your life would scream it. Do I believe verses 4 through 8? Do I believe verses 4 through 8? He says, but you, brothers, you're not in darkness. Man, praise God. Amen. He says, you're saved, right? Brothers, you're not in darkness. Sisters, you're not in darkness. So that this day should not overtake you as a thief. You're sealed. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. He's saying heaven exists. We are not of the night or the darkness. Highlight it. Therefore, that's a big word. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. You are not lost. Heaven waits for you. So, therefore, let us not sleep as others do. But let us watch and be sober. Let us watch for the clouds, right? For those who sleep, sleep at night. And for those who get drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet of the hope of salvation. Church, do you believe in those things? I know we said we believe that the hell exists. Do you believe that heaven exists? And do you believe that God promises it and waits for you in it? Do you believe that? Well, Paul is reminding the people that their bags are packed and heaven waits for them. So do you know what he says in those verses? He says, if you are saved, do not live as if you are lost. Do you believe that eternity is promised to you? And if so, does that excite you? Does heaven excite you? Let me ask you, church. Does heaven excite you? And if you said yes, well, then answer the question, which part? Like, what part of eternity excites you about those verses that I just read, 4 through 8? Is it eternity with God or just the fact that you have eternity in heaven? Which one? Because what I see often is people that say, I cannot wait for eternity with the Lord, are the same people that are too busy to spend an hour with Him on the day here on earth. I'm not in my Bible daily. Church at times is too much. My prayer life is a disaster, but I can't wait to spend eternity with Him. Do you believe verses 4 through 8? Do you believe that heaven exists and that it waits for you, and that what we should do for with our lives is that Jesus comes back and those clouds part, you and I should live a life staring at the sky and basically in anticipation for when He will come. I hope He comes now. I'm just staring at the sky, waiting for Him, sober-minded, eyes open. He says, don't sleep like those who are lost. Don't be drunk like those who are lost. Live a life like you are saved. What I see in so many guys, especially here in the Bible Belt, I think this is a lot how many of us were raised. I believe so many look at salvation as this addition to versus a complete remodel. And so what I mean by that is Jesus did not come to earth to take you from good to great, but to help you give you a retirement plan, fire insurance from hell. He came to die for those that would place their faith in Him and be willing to lose everything to have Him. What have you ever lost to follow Jesus? What have you ever lost to follow Jesus? Jesus did not die just so you could be filled with His Spirit and go back to living just as if you did when you did not have it. Do you believe that? Well, if so, Paul says, do not sleep. Do not sleep. Persevere, strive, run, fight the good fight of faith. I met a pastor in the Dominican. It was very convicting to me because it's a very different climate than what we have in the U.S., the church. And this pastor was probably early 30s, faithful man, and he told me this story about how he came to know the Lord. And he said that in the Dominican, I was privileged enough to go to college. And what they call college there is university. It's like 10, 15% are able to do such a thing. And so if you were able to go to college, it's like you won the lottery. And the reason for college is very simple. Because very few people are able to get such an opportunity, those men and women will go to university, and when they graduate, they will get a better job, and when they get a better job, they'll make better money, and they are responsible of spreading that money out to their family. Make sense to you? And so he says, I actually got to go to university. And my mama and my dad and my grandparents and my siblings and my friends, they were so thankful. They were counting on me. He says, well, this is what happened, though. He says, in the midst of all of this, I came to know Jesus. And in finding Jesus, I was called to ministry. And when I was called to ministry, I had this moment where I had this privilege of like gaining the world. But I had this moment because I knew if I follow Jesus here in the Dominican, I'm going to have to abandon all of my desires for dreams of wealth, in which he did. He says, and when I abandoned all of my dreams of wealth, when I started staring at the sky, church, instead of all the things that I could accomplish here on earth, he says, my family couldn't look at me. He says, my family saw me as a failure, as a disappointment. He says, now I'm alone. And for many of my family members, I can't even go to them anymore because of the anger that they have for me for wasting this great opportunity to bless himself and others around him. And so he goes, now I'm alone in the ministry. Poor. In the ministry. I have a degree that I'm not using because of the ministry. So later in the week, I was curious and I sat with him and I said, brother, let me ask you, you're away from all of your family. You don't have anybody around you. You're struggling in many ways. You're being faithful. Do you ever regret your decision? Quote, because I wrote it down. He looks at me without blinking and he says, I would rather be seen as a failure to the world than unfaithful to God. He didn't have his mom, his dad. He's not married, no kids, no money. He's alone. And he says, I would rather be seen as a failure to the world than unfaithful to God. Do you believe that? And if so, how can you relate any parts of your life to it? Can you relate any of that? Do you believe in heaven? And if so, how has that changed your life? Are you still storing up treasures here on earth? Are you still living as if this is going to be heaven? Are you still trying to reach those goals and strive for those achievements? Are you looking at the world and going, you can look at me any way you want. Man, my prize is in glory. If you highlighted it, how can you relate to it? I had this thought the day after I got home from the mission trip. And someone said to me, which is said every time, I've said it, I thought it, and said every time I go on one of these mission trips, they looked at me and they go, Hunter, I've been on one of these trips. And here's the statement. They go, oh, I love it. Because it's such a humbling experience. And here it is. It makes me so thankful when I get back and I see all the ways that God has blessed me and all that I have, right? Going to see them makes me so grateful for what I have, right? And I get it. They have a house the size of that closet and I got 15 closets. And guys, I used to be able to relate to that, but as I get older and I go on more and more of these trips, I am not blessed at all that I have. I am saddened by it. Like, are we blessed or fooled? Like, is this a gift or a trap? Like, many of us are saved, guys, but we're still living like we're sleeping. Listen to me for a minute. Like, if this thing is true and this isn't just 45 minutes on your Sunday, if this thing is real, like if Jesus is coming back and God's wrath exists and His glory and grace is offered, if heaven is real, if this thing is true, well, so, like, how has this changed everything about you? But you understand, if you were here 2 weeks ago in Ecclesiastes 2, this is the space that Solomon got. Like, Solomon had this moment where he just looked at everything. Go back and listen if you missed. He looked at just all of his stuff and he goes, man, what am I doing? Like, I can't take any of this stuff with me. Like, none of this is going to matter. For you guys that are chasing stuff, there is a 0.00000 chance that you're going to stand before the Creator of the world and impress Him with anything you've done in this world outside of follow His Son. Hey, look at my kid. Look at my kid, Lord. Look at my kid and all he's done. It will be a joke. Look at my promotions and look at my house and look at my stuff. The Lord is going to go, man, you were saved, but you lived like you were lost. Did you highlight verses 4 through 8? Do you believe that heaven exists? Well, if so, how does your life scream that answer? Man, I want to call all of us, live as if you fully believe that heaven is real. Live it. Like, live it. None of this matters. Celebrate your tiredness. For those who served up here for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours yesterday, are you tired? And if you were to say, I am, well, praise God for godly tiredness. Do not ever call me and tell me that you're serving too much, because I will be the first one to tell you that you're not. Someone in this room right now, I don't know who you are, but this is just how numbers works. Somebody in this room, you are the biggest giver here at church. And please hear me, you don't give enough. Man, praise God for sacrifice. Praise God for tiredness and service. Praise God for the church and knowledge and studying. Thank God for the opportunity to lift your head up and look at this clouds and wait. That is God's grace and mercy on your life. Do not waste it. Because if you believe in Luke 12, when Jesus Christ says, to whom much is given, much is required. If you believe that, you need to recognize that you have been given much. And it's time for our lives to look different. If heaven is real, if so, how does your life reflect it? Christians not only should be the greatest evangelizers to those who are lost, we should be the most grateful, thankful, praise-worshiping people that have ever existed. I was destined for hell, but for some reason, God chose me for heaven. He has traded punishment for blessings and reward. If you don't have anything to be thankful for, then you don't believe those verses. Like, what if? What if heaven is real? I believe that it is. Well, if so, praise God. Praise God. Spend your life looking at the clouds. Last one, and most importantly, kids, don't lose me. I want you to hear this. Do I believe in verses 9 through 11? These are the most important verses, I believe. Do I believe in verses 9 through 11? It says this, for God did not appoint us to wrath. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand what that says right there? Let me just sum it up. He says, hey, listen, instead of great punishment, God has actually given you great reward. Where has that ever been true in your life to that extent? For God did not appoint us to wrath, but instead He is to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whenever we were awake or asleep, it says, even if you were dead in the Old Testament or you're alive in the New, does not matter. Salvation has always come through Christ. We should live together with Him. Do you believe this to be true? Do you believe that because of sin that we deserve wrath? Do you believe that there had to be punishment because the only thing in heaven is perfection? So you and I are not good enough. No matter how much you believe that you are a nice, sweet southern boy or girl, heaven is too good for you, my friend. And so there had to be a punishment from the garden until today. There had to be wrath. God promised it as a great judge. But do you believe that instead of pouring out on you and I, Jesus swallowed that punishment on the cross? Do you believe that to be true? That no matter what timeline you've lived in, no matter your skin color, no matter your sex, no matter your last name, no matter the demons in your past, that it applies for all those who place their faith in Him. Do you believe that? And do you believe that God wants us in heaven with Him? Do you believe this? Well, if so, the other verses that we just read should be a joy to you to fulfill. If you believe that Christ is everything and that you are everything to Him, well, then being tired for the Lord, keeping your eyes open to the clouds, waiting for Him to come, waiting in anticipation, sharing the gospel with the lost, no matter how uncomfortable you might be, it is a joy. If you understand the gospel, you invite it. Because it's not my money. It is not my life. It is not my stuff. Everything is Him. If He took my punishment and gave me rewards, then I will happily tell other people about Him. If He is coming back to take me to the promised land that I do not deserve, then I will happily stay awake, sober-minded until He does. As we close here, I remember as I was a little kid playing cards with somebody at my cousin's house. We were playing cards, and my cousin, he was a younger kid, he got the blessing of being dealt four aces. We were playing poker. And I don't know if you've ever pulled four aces before, but I think it's pretty rare. So he had four aces, and we were playing with chips, and those chips were like worth like pieces of candy, right? So my cousin had like Jolly Ranchers and Starburst and had all this stuff, and he was holding four aces. And so he put in some of the pot. He goes, "I'll give you some of my Jolly Ranchers, and I bet you some Starburst, and I'll raise you a Skittle," right? And so you know how the story goes. He had four aces. He won. So he won all of these things. And I remember my uncle looking at my cousin and saying, "Son, like, why didn't you bet it all? Like, you have four aces. Like, you put like 20% on the table." And I remember what my cousin said. I didn't fully realize what I had. Like, I knew it was good, but like, I didn't know he was unbeatable. I think the church is filled with people today that go, "Hey, I know what I'm holding is pretty good, but I'm not willing to go all in because I don't know if I fully understand what I'm holding." Hey, guys, if you highlighted all 11 of those verses, man, all chips in. All chips in. Stop storing up treasures here on earth. Stop giving your time and your gifts and your energies to things that don't deserve it. Praise God for your tiredness, sing loud even though you don't have a good voice. It's not my money, it's not my time, it's not my gifts. It is all for the glory of God. You know why? Because I believe that there is a heaven and that is all that matters. My eyes are staring at the sky and I hope they split today. Why? Because I believe it. I believe it. As we close, if you're one of those individuals that say, "Hunter, I didn't highlight everything." Well, if so, then you are not ready. And if you sit here today and you say, "Hey, Hunter, those 11 verses, it's not the Jesus I know. The Jesus I know did not love me before the foundation of the world. The Jesus I know did not trade wrath in for blessings. The Jesus I know does not love me and want to spend eternity for me. The Jesus I know is just a checkbox and rules that I need to follow. That's not the Jesus I know." Well, if so, I pray that He saves you today. And I pray instead of looking down at hell, which is you are destined for, my friend, that your eyes go up to glory and excitement. Like, what if this is true? And if it is, let it change everything about us. Let's bow our heads. God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for forgiveness. We thank you for the wrath that was coming for us that has been traded for blessings and glory. We thank you for it. Lord, we know that without you, hell waits for us. Your Bible tells us it is true. Because of my sin and my disobedience and my foolishness and my pride, I had a one-way ticket. But because of your grace and your mercy and your Son that swallowed your wrath, took away my sin on the cross, Lord, let all of the church unite together, stare at the sky, live with our eyes open, sober-minded, awake. Why? Because we believe it to be true. So Lord, I pray that as we close here, if someone does not know you today, if someone is not saved, if someone does not truly believe, Lord, I pray that you break ankles. Because there will be a day that all knees bow. There will be a day that all knees bow. Lord, I pray that we do it at the altar as we give our life to the one who saves. For those who are saved, we give you all the glory. Thank you for your church, your son, your cross, your word, your spirit that fills us. In your precious, in your holy name, in the name of Jesus who saves, the church says, Amen.